Isn't it beautiful to hear the scriptures read in different languages? I just love that. Thank you so much. So we heard Czech, we heard English, we heard Chi, and we heard Mandarin, right? Is that right, Rayanne? Mandarin. Wonderful. And I think, you know, if we had gotten every one of you to read the scriptures in maybe the first language or your second language that you have learned, man, we would have even more. So it's just wonderful. A wonderful thing about an international church, isn't it? That we can come together and worship and get a glimpse, really most Sundays, of this kind of multicultural community that began in Acts 2. So let's look together at this Sunday of Pentecost. So we have red pyramids because we are symbolizing the coming of the Holy Spirit. And every Sunday, have you noticed, we light a candle. Why do we light a candle? Do you think it's just because it's pretty? No, we light a candle to represent fire. We light a candle to remind us of the Holy Spirit. And so every Sunday, right in front of us, this is to remind us that the presence of God is here. The presence of God is spirit. So it's not like the Holy Spirit sits down right next to McCall like I am now. No, the Holy Spirit is present in a kind of a mysterious way amongst us. Now, turn to the text, Tim. On the first Pentecost, you got to be careful with fire, right? We don't want a bonfire in this lovely space. We want just a little fire. This first Pentecost has this miraculous kind of event that happens. Do you see that? So they're gathered together worshiping God. They're following what Jesus asked them to do. So Jesus, you can read about it at the end of Luke, at the end of each of the Gospels, and in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming. You need to wait. Not hurry up and go. You need to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also said you need to wait for being clothed, being ready with power from on high. And so here in Acts 2, we have the disciples and all those who are still following Jesus gathered together, women and men gathered together, praying, seeking God, and all of a sudden, there's a large sound. The sound of a violent, strong wind blowing. Right? So they've got sound. They probably felt wind. And then they saw what seemed to be a tongue of fire descend and come to rest on each of them. And then all of them began to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. I love this. And I love how the scripture so brilliantly and intricately connects the dots for the whole of scripture. I mean, if you just take Acts 2 separate from the rest of the Bible, it sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Or is it just me? Crazy wind, fire on people, and everybody speaking in different languages. But if you put it within the context of this whole book, it's just like God. It's just like God. I mean, how many times did Jesus teach about how the Holy Spirit is like wind? You cannot control the wind, but yet you can see the effects of the wind. We believe in wind, even though we can't see it, because we can all see and feel the effects of the wind. The Holy Spirit is like that. Fire. How many times in the scriptures do we hear and read about fire? I mean, in the Old Testament times, as the Israelites are led out of Egypt, out of slavery, they're led with a pillar of fire to give them light and to guide them on where they're to go. And that fire is to represent the presence, the very presence of God with them. Remember when Jesus was baptized in the New Testament, it talked about how the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And here we see the Spirit descending on each of the people. And it's like fire. Wow. And then you see this miraculous event of the Holy Spirit giving people a supernatural ability to speak in all sorts of tongues. So if we were going to continue to read in this text, we didn't read all of Acts 1 today, or Acts 2 today, but it goes on to talk about how the people started hearing about the greatness of God in their own language, and they began saying, "Are these not Galileans who are speaking my language?" And it talks about how there were people from all over who've come to Jerusalem for the festival. And so people from Africa, people from Asia, people from Europe, people from all over the known world, people speaking Arabic, people speaking all these different languages, proclaiming about the greatness of God. And so can you imagine? You're going to Jerusalem for a little festival, a little party. You're from another country. And all of a sudden you go by this one building and you hear your language and you hear someone praising God and telling about God's greatness in your language. It grew a crowd. A huge crowd gathered. Towards the end of Acts 2, it says, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ that day. Now that's cool. So it was a big crowd that was attracted to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it was a multicultural crowd. Do you see that? God honored different cultures, different languages, different peoples. From all over the world, God wanted to bless all peoples and bring them together for community. And so that's why I think international churches have a corner on the kingdom of God, because it's a slice every Sunday. I mean, think about us gathered here. We're from all over the world, speaking different languages, different cultures, different personalities, different traditions, different beliefs, different political ideas, right? About all sorts of things. And what brings us together? Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see right at the beginning. God's love being poured out in any language. Powerful. Now think about Peter. Peter, one of the first disciples. You can read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I think the Bible study was looking at Peter a little bit. He was one of the disciples that you read about a lot. And he had moments of great faith where he was like, "Jesus, you're the Messiah." And then he had moments where he just didn't get it. Like trying to tell Jesus, "Don't go back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you." And she's like, "Yeah, that's the idea." Here we have Peter. He's an uneducated man. He's a fisherman. He's a country boy, right in his beginning of his life. You see him denying Christ at the end of Jesus' life, really letting Jesus down. And here in Acts chapter 2, he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. He's so clothed with power from on high. He gets up and becomes this great orator, this great speaker. And he gives a witness about Jesus Christ, and thousands come to believe in Jesus. How does a guy go from that to that? Transformation. And that's the story in Acts. That's the story of the early church. God using ordinary men and women like you and me and bringing transformation, bringing new purpose, bringing new love, bringing new power into our lives and changing us. So let's talk about Pentecost practically for me and for you today. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? You don't have to answer me out loud. You can just reflect. It's not a quiz. I would love to sit down and talk with each of you about it over coffee or something. What do you really believe about the Holy Spirit? I think that sometimes the Holy Spirit is the least understood person of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I'd encourage you to read more about the Holy Spirit. Read the second half of the Gospel of John and see what Jesus taught us about the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll spend some more time in the weeks ahead talking about the Holy Spirit, because it's really important. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out to us. So let's consider another question, maybe to put it another way. Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe miracles can happen? When I've been a missionary, many of you know I've lived in different parts of the world. And I was thinking about this week. Thinking about how I do believe in miracles. I do believe in the supernatural. I do believe in the Holy Spirit, for sure. And yet, I'll have to say my experience in Europe with the Holy Spirit is a little different than my experience in Africa with the Holy Spirit. And I was reflecting on why is that? When I lived in Ghana, I saw with my own eyes lots of miracles, praying for healing and literally seeing sometimes healing happening. I saw great signs and wonders. And I was thinking about the atmosphere in Ghana and how I came to really respect and admire Ghanaian Christians. Because when they would gather for worship, there was an expectancy, an anticipation that God is God and God can do anything God wants to do. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's true. And because there was this belief in the supernatural, this anticipation, this expectation in worship. Worship was really exciting. Because there was this feeling, this sense, this anticipation, when we come together and worship and pray and sing and look at the scriptures together, God is here and can do anything. Healings can happen. Deliverance can happen. Miracles can happen because that's who God is. In Europe, now I hope I don't step on too many toes, but I may a little, and I'm okay with that. In Europe, I've met many beautiful Christians, and I've also met a lot of people who do not believe. that there even is a God. I imagine you have too. I've heard many pastors from different parts of Europe, not just the Czech Republic, different parts of Europe say to me, what I read in Acts and what I experience in ministry are different. And it pains me. And I would have to say, that's how I feel too. And I'm not totally sure why. And I have to point at myself and go, have I become too comfortable, right, in expecting God to move? Do I need to lift my own eyes up for more faith for God to move? Maybe. But I also want to say that in Europe, there is at times such a, if I can name it, pride in our own knowledge, in our own progression, in our own science and reason. Now, I am not an anti-intellectual. I have a master's degree. I've studied a lot of times. I have a husband who has a PhD. So I believe in education. I believe in science and reason, and that God's given us talents to make the world a better place, for sure. And yet, sometimes with education, we get puffed up. We kind of start thinking of ourselves more. And we don't talk like this. We probably don't even talk like this to our own selves. But sometimes, deep down, we think, I know better than God. I trust myself and my pocketbook and my medical doctors and my educators more than I do God, who I can't see. And I think sometimes the atmosphere, the environment we're in, why we start to look more to ourselves than to God sometimes here in Europe. You can have your own conclusions. I hope many of you have said, well, would say to me after the worship when we eat lunch, I've seen miracles. I believe in them. I've seen them here in my lifetime. I hope so. But if you haven't, I would say don't let your limited experience limit God. Let me say that again. Don't let your limited experience limit God. Because truth be told, sometimes we want a small God, don't we? I mean, we want a God we can control. We want a God that we can open, you know, when we feel like coming to church, and then close back up and then do whatever we want. We want God to move on our timeline and not when it's not convenient. I mean, is that not right? Am I the only one? Thank you for that. What would it look like for you and for me if we really would open ourselves to the Holy Spirit? What would it look like if we began to think that God was smarter and more grand than us, and we were okay with that? What would it look like if we really became dissatisfied with just status quo living? And we wanted more of God. I think sometimes we don't experience more of the Holy Spirit because we aren't open. It's hard to experience the fullness of God if we're not open to it. So I challenge you. Consider what you believe about the Holy Spirit, because what you believe can define how open. And what you believe certainly is what you read in the scriptures, what you know. It could be what you think theologically about God, what you reason philosophically. But it can also have to do with our emotions, our psychological being, if you will. How did our families of origin, for example, how did they approach God? Did they despise God? Did our fathers and mothers act like angry parents that we could never please? And so we kind of feel like maybe God's that way to us. Because if that's our experience of authority, guess what? It'll impact how we approach God. So when I say, what do you believe about God? I mean here, intellectually, but I also mean here. Your whole being. What do you believe? And I'd encourage you to start unpacking that. Maybe journal. Maybe talk with someone. Find another Christian to just explore your ideas about the supernatural, about the Holy Spirit. I think whether you're a believer in Christ or you've been a Christian for a while, I imagine we still have more to grow in, more to unpack. And so I simply want to invite you. Today, if you're here and you're not sure if you're a Christian, I'd say when we go to prayer time, pray exactly there. God, I'm not sure if you're real. Say something like this, right? God, I'm not sure if you're real, but if you're real, I want to believe you. Jesus, reveal yourself to me that I might believe and receive your Spirit. Pray something like that. If you're here today and you'd say, you know, I believe in Christ. I think I'm a Christian. But I don't think I've really feel or sense the Holy Spirit in my life. Pray right there. Jesus, I believe in you. I want to experience more of the Holy Spirit. Would you pour out upon me? And I want to exhort you. If it doesn't happen like that, keep praying. Because God ain't like popcorn in a microwave. You know how long the disciples prayed in the upper room before the presence and power of the Holy Spirit poured out? Days. So pray, and if you don't first receive, be persistent. Press in. Show your hunger, your sincerity to God. God, I'm not going to leave you alone until you come. And I challenge you to experience more of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I've gone long, but you'll have to forgive me because we're in church. Thank you for that. Thank you. I just like it when people laugh. So we're going to go to prayer. And I just want to encourage you. You have a moment of just quiet, just for you, right in your chair. Make it be what you need. Talk to God. Tell God where you're at with the Holy Spirit and ask, seek, and knock. Make it personal. Make it applicable for your life. Take a few moments.